Today we celebrate the restoration of the holy images, the icons in the Orthodox Church. We do so at the time of the year when the Church, our Mother, calls us to renew the image of Christ within ourselves through prayer, fasting, and acts of charity toward our neighbors. Central to this entire enterprise is our understanding that Christ Jesus is not only the perfect image of the Father wrapped in our humanity, but he is also the image of the perfect human being. He is what and who our father Adam was and we have been called to be. We might also say the spiritual life is nothing less than the process of growing in the likeness of Christ, becoming increasingly like him. On Tuesday of this first week of the great fast at Compline, we hear these words of St. Andrew of Crete. I have discolored with the passions the first beauty of the image, O Savior, but seek me as once thou hast sought the lost coin and find me. These two very brief lines from the great canon reflect two fundamental principles in our Orthodox understanding of the divine economy. One, our father Adam and we his children were created in the image and likeness of God. And two, it is God himself who searches for us, reaching down from heaven, as it were, to lift us up. As I get older, I find myself turning again and again to the first chapters of Genesis and realizing how important they are in the understanding of what is to be found in the rest of the Bible. We read that God brought all of creation into being on the first 5 days through a word. The formula, and God said, let there be, and it was so, is repeated 5 times. But on the 6th day, when God creates Adam, the man, the entire grammar changes. God says these very significant words, let us make man according to our image and likeness. And continuing, and God made man according to the image of God he made him, male and female he made them. Clearly, from the text, there is something different about the man. He is the only of God's creatures that is made in his image and likeness. No other animal, fish, or bird is created specifically to reflect God. And his divine likeness is something possessed by both males and females. Expressed another way, human beings were created to be the living images or icons of God, animate reflections in the flesh of God himself, having dominion over God's creation. The story of Adam and Eve continues. The man and the woman were placed by God in what the Septuagint calls the Garden of Delight, and were to cultivate it and keep it. They were given the freedom to eat of the fruit of every tree in the garden except one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Its presence in the garden and their observance of this one commandment of God was an expression of Adam and Eve's freedom, their ability to choose, to obey or disobey. It also represents our own ability to choose, to obey God or to disobey him. It is important for us to understand that the man and the woman, and those of us who call ourselves Christians, obey God's commandments not because we are afraid he will somehow torment us or punish us if we did not follow them, but instead because we love him and we want to please him. Love, even the love of God, is something that cannot be compelled or demanded. It can only be freely given. And then, if you will, this primal fast was a simple and yet fundamental expression of our first parents' love for God. Genesis expresses the innocence and freedom of Adam and Eve in a unique way. And the two were naked, both Adam and his wife, and they were not ashamed. But as we all know, that first fast was broken through the guile of the serpent. And when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, Adam and Eve hid themselves. It is written because they were afraid, and they knew they were naked. In eating of the fruit of the tree that was forbidden to them, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Adam and Eve indeed gained knowledge. They learned that they were now separated from God and had lost the closeness to Him that they had once possessed. Made both in the image and likeness of God, they were no longer like God. Their likeness to Him was darkened through sin, and they lamented not just the loss of paradise, but because, and much more because, they had grieved and offended God's love. And the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil taught them one more thing. They knew shame and hid themselves from the loving Lord who had only shown them friendship and kindness. They lost their intimacy with God and became afraid. Through sin, the image of God within the man and the woman, indeed in each one of us, is obscured, and our likeness to Him is diminished, sullied, and masked. On this Sunday, when we celebrate the restoration of the holy icons to the church, we are reminded of our need to restore the image of God within each one of us. One could say the spiritual life and our Lenten journey, the lifelong struggle to repent, is all about the restoration and cleansing of that original image within each of us, about making ourselves transparent, so to speak, so that God can once more shine through men and women into this world. Are not the saints those men and women who have in their lives removed all that is not godlike in them, and in whom the image and likeness have been restored to the point that God can be encountered in them once more? Great Lent has been called the school of repentance, and schools are about education. I think it is interesting to note that the Russian word for education is obrazovanie, which has as its root the word obraz, which can mean icon or image. It is as though there is some basic understanding that education involves more than just the transfer of information from one person to another. Real education entails the development or nurturing of an image of one sort or another. In a spiritual sense, this is exactly what our journey to Pascha is all about. The Lenten school of repentance is nothing less than the restoration of the image of God in us, an uncovering of what in us is really human. It is a rededication to our primal calling in the garden to be the friends of God. Metropolitan Anthony Bloom once pointed out our tendency during the time of the fast to dwell on all that is wrong within ourselves, all that makes us prodigals and obscures the divine image within us. To be sure, it is necessary to come to terms with our distance from God in our process of repentance. But it is not the entire story, but only the first step. When a specialist in art restoration looks at a damaged painting, he has first to make an assessment of the damage that has been done to it. What did it look like original? Where are the cracks? Are there tears in the canvas? What is the state of the varnish? How much dirt and grime is there, obscuring the image? If he were to stop there, the painting would remain a piece of damaged art and no better. We cannot be renewed if we only concentrate on the damage we have done to the image of God within us. If all we do is catalog what is unworthy, dead, and sinful in us, and dwell on it, are we any better? We must allow the Master, the one who is the author of the image, to bring life and healing to our souls. The Lenten effort, then, is also, and perhaps even mainly, about a search for the divine beauty that is within us. Those who restore paintings have their tools and techniques, And the church has also given us tools that we can use to restore the image of God within us, to help us become more like Him: prayer, fasting, confession, and almsgiving. We need to understand them to be what they are: tools. They are not the goal, but the means by which we can achieve our goal. And as tools, they are applied to the whole human person, soul and body. Let us not be shy or slow about taking them up. Adam and Eve, you and I were created to be the objects of God's incomprehensible love. Remember, an image makes the prototype present. We were lovingly fashioned in His image and likeness and placed here on this earth to make God present in His beloved creation. Let us make the rest of our Lenten journey an effort to comprehend, in even the smallest way, how dear we are to God, how much He cherishes and desires each one of us. There is not one person here or even on this earth that is not without value and is not sought by God's love. But equally, there is not one of us who has arrived. We are all either moving toward the one who loves us or away from Him. We are all either in the process of restoring the image of God within us, our likeness to Him, or we are actively engaged in marring it. Let us also not forget that God is constantly searching for us. I love the story of the prodigal son. I imagine that father of the wretched boy going out each day and looking down the road for the return of his beloved child. And when at last he saw him returning home, he ran and embraced him with tears of joy. Let this be our image of repentance as we set about to restore our likeness to God. I would like to close with these words of Metropolitan Anthony: stand with a clear vision of our wonderful vocation, of the love of God, of what we mean to Him, because His power is made visible through weakness. He requires not our strength, but our surrender. Amen.
Amen.
It's my great joy and pleasure to welcome my brother hierarchs here, Metropolitan Gerasimos, Bishop Maxim, Bishop Apostolos, and Bishop Daniel, the Bishop of Santa Rosa, to welcome you here to St. Seraphim Holy Protection Church. I have to tell you, it's not without some pride that I invite you here to see this beautiful temple and to experience the worship in this community, which I think is a wonderful model for us in North America. I also welcome all the clergy who have come here to serve with us and to make really manifest in a very concrete way the unity of Orthodoxy here in North America. We are together and we are divided, but we are all here tonight praying to God, which is what we were created by God to do. I also want to thank Father Lawrence and the parishioners of the St. Seraphim Protection Parish for hosting us, and there is a reception in the hall which follows immediately.
Thank you.
Go.